Well, that may be new to some, but a lovely piece. If you have your Bibles, please do turn to John chapter 16. As I've already mentioned, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and it's important and right for us to mark that. Not that on one Sunday we should be thinking about the Holy Spirit and sort of forget about him on other Sundays, of course not. And so today, and indeed next week, God willing, we're going to think a little bit about what Jesus says about the Spirit from this passage in John chapter 16. Our focus today is really mainly the section from verse 5 through to verse 15. But maybe just as I get into this subject this morning, I want you just to notice what Jesus says at the beginning of the chapter. It's interesting. As he prepares his disciples and as he leads them to understand a little bit more about what the Holy Spirit does, he also teaches them about the suffering that Christians ought to expect. Jesus plainly teaches here, and you can see it there in verse 1 and 2, "All this I've told you, that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a sacrifice to God." Jesus plainly teaches that not only for these disciples, but for the generations of Christians to come, that there will be suffering times, there will be difficult times. Indeed, there will be times that they will find themselves in situations where people in the name of God come against Christians. And you do not need to think very hard to think how that is still happening today. We support the work of Open Doors, and you only have to read the literature to see how today. And think today, think of this. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus who are literally sitting in a prison cell today, who have been tortured, who have been maltreated, who have been put out of their homes and their communities. What awful thing have they done? They have simply believed in Jesus. Do not forget the suffering church. And Jesus tells us pretty straightly why this happens. Verse 3, "They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me." Why do people come in hatred against Christians? Why do people throw Christians into prison? It's because they do not know God. They claim to know God, but they do not know God. And they come against the Father, and they come against the children of his Son. But let's move, having noticed that context, into seeing what this passage teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And just a comment as we get into this about the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure I've said this before. I'm sure others have said it before me. Remember this, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. We do not refer to the Holy Spirit as it. That is actually a very wrong thing to do. We refer to the Holy Spirit as he. He is a person. He is one of the Trinity. He is one person in the Trinity. And you can see here, without getting into all sorts of details, you can see, why do we say this? Well, look at verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It is following in the example of our Lord that we are taught here, and we learn to refer to the Holy Spirit as he. Again, verse 8, "when he comes." And you can look for yourself. There's lots of other examples in this passage where it very clearly speaks about the person of the Holy Spirit in this way. The other thing that I want you to notice from these verses is that it teaches us if you like, the doctrine of the Trinity. Let me just put that up for you. Let me just read that for you and just think about it for a moment. In these verses, John 16, verses 5, 6, and 7, I, Jesus, that's Jesus is speaking, I'm going to him. He's speaking about the Father, God the Father, who sent me. And Jesus goes on to say, unless I, Jesus, go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. Now, there is one example in the New Testament where the doctrine of the Trinity is very clearly taught. As you will know, I don't know how recently you may have had someone from the Jehovah's Witnesses calling at your door. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in what I am now speaking to you about. They do not believe in the Trinity. They believe it is a wrong doctrine. And so Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christians. I'm not being disrespectful to them, but they are not Christians. I remember speaking one occasion to a Jehovah's Witness, and in the course of the conversation, it was a helpful enough chat, but I said, "And you are not Christians," and they seemed to take some exception to this. I said, "Well, you're clearly not Christian because you do not believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." But they sort of almost wanted to claim the name Christian and Jehovah's Witness at the same time, but that is not possible. And in cults like the Jehovah's Witness, they do not believe in the Trinity, and sometimes they challenge Christians on this particular issue. It is true, you will not find a verse, you will not find a text which has the word Trinity in it, but you will certainly find texts like this one, which has the principle of the Trinity in it. So go away and think about that for yourself. The doctrine of the Trinity is a very important Christian doctrine, and the person of the Holy Spirit. He, along with the Father and the Son, is part of the triune God. And there is a mystery there. There's a point that we cannot fully explain the mysteries of the Trinity, but we can be confident that it is a doctrine based on the teaching of the Word of God. Time causes me to press on. Let me say a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. I always think of a young man I knew, I've always remembered this story. He one example, he went out one night. He grew up not far from me, and he went out one Saturday evening, like many, to enjoy himself at a dance. And halfway through the dance, he became greatly troubled by what was going on. He couldn't enjoy it at all. And he left the dance and he went straight to one of the local minister's house, and at a very late hour knocked on his door and asked him, "I'm greatly concerned about my soul and I need the Lord Jesus." And that young man, when he dressed earlier and put on his aftershave to go to the dance, he didn't quite realize that at the end of the evening he would end up at the door of the manse asking for the minister to point him in the way of salvation. What was going on in that situation? Well, what was going on is actually described in this passage that we have here in John chapter 16, because basically what was happening in that young man's life was that the Holy Spirit was at work convicting him, moving him, bringing him to realize that there's more to life than a dance, that actually his eternal soul needed to be made right with its maker. And in this passage, and again, there's a lot of things here, but I just want to just point you to what it's actually saying here. Often the Holy Spirit is spoken of in the Bible as one who will defend us and protect us, but actually the Holy Spirit is spoken of here in terms of one who will go not so much on the defensive, but the offensive. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Look at what it says. Look at verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. And it's interesting here that sin is defined not so much as, oh, I did this, I didn't do that. Sin is defined here as rejecting Jesus. Sin is defined as not believing in Jesus. That is essentially what sin is. Remember on the day of Pentecost, whenever Peter had preached the message, and it tells us that the people were cut to the heart because they realized that they had put Jesus on the cross. They had crucified the righteous one, and they were convicted. They were cut to the very heart. Brothers, what shall we do? And that is what it means to be convicted of sin. And sin is essentially to turn your back on Jesus. There are people in this community, like every community, who think sin is, oh, maybe not going to church on a Sunday, or not dressing up on a Sunday, or not doing this and not doing that. You can argue the toss about that. We want to say to them, look, this is sin. Turning your back on Jesus. Refusing to believe in Jesus. Refusing to believe that he is the righteous one. That is sin. In that sense this morning, are you a sinner? Have you still turned your back on Jesus? Are you still trying to go through life doing this, that, and the other thing, but essentially you have not believed in him? It is the work of the Spirit in regard to sin to awaken man and woman, because man and woman do not believe in Jesus. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. You see, this is what the Spirit does. He convicts people that Jesus, this figure who was put onto the cross, this man who died on the cross, actually was the Son of God. He is the righteous one, and we put him on the cross. He is the righteous one. We are the unrighteous ones. Tell me this morning, have you sensed something of that as the Spirit has been at work in convicting your heart and teaching you that you are unrighteous? Oh, you may not have done an awful lot of really dreadful things as we think of dreadful things, but actually in your heart, you're not right. You're self-centered. You're selfish. You're not righteous. He is the righteous one. And also the Spirit convicts people of judgment, because the prince of this world, a reference to the devil, mentioned earlier, John 12, 31, 14, 30, the prince of this world, the devil, he stands condemned. And what this is teaching is that the Holy Spirit teaches people and helps people to see that if the prince of this world stands condemned, then this world stands condemned, and those who follow this world will also stand condemned. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you think about that? Some people never think about that. I presume because they don't believe it. I presume all the people in this community who today who are sitting smugly, I'm glad I'm not one of those boys going to their church. I've been delivered from all of that. I assume they literally do not believe there is a judgment. They obviously do not believe that. Otherwise, they would be here. Is it possible that there's someone here this morning or listening through the internet, and actually, if truth be told, you maybe haven't really thought much about that yourself? And you're hoping at the end of the day, I'll get through. There is a judgment. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is an accounting. Oh, you might say, I wish there wasn't, but it's not really the point, what you may wish. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of these things. Do you remember a man before whom the Apostle Paul spoke? He was a very influential man. And we're told that this man brought Paul in to speak to him time and time again. We're told that Paul spoke to him about righteousness and self-control and about the judgment to come. And we're told that this man listened. But then there came a point in the conversation where he said to Paul, Paul, that's enough. I've heard enough. You may leave. And when I find a convenient moment, I will bring you back. Felix. Felix goes out as a warning to all who say in the kingdom of Morn, I don't want to hear that now, but there's a day coming when I find it convenient that I'll listen to that again and I'll get my life sorted with God. Felix. And the scriptures, and you can read the story for yourself in Acts 24. The scriptures do not record any occasion whenever Felix invited Paul back. Indeed, it says this. Felix says to Paul, that's enough for now, Paul. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. At the same time, he was hoping for a bribe to offer, that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. After 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by another man. There's no record whatsoever of Felix getting right with God, despite the fact that as Felix listened to these things, here's the point, folks. The scriptures tell us that Felix trembled. He was afraid. He was moved to his very heart. And in his heart, he knew that what this man was saying was true and right and needed to be attended to. He trembled. That's enough, Paul. When I find a convenient season, I will call you back. Folks, could it be this morning, you may not literally be sitting in your seat trembling, but there is actually something in your heart that says, you know what? This is true. And I need to be right with God. And I have been putting this off for far, far too long. And why have you been putting it off? Again, we come back to the same old thing that I hear time and time again. I worry about what my friends will say. Oh, folks, come on. Of what significance will it be what your friends may say when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Of what significance will it be? Oh, I was worried that my friends might laugh if they heard that I had given my life to Jesus as you stand before God. If this is true, get yourself right with God. If it's not true, go out and do whatever you want. But if it's true, and if the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come, then I appeal with you under God to get yourself right with God. Not next week or next year or even tomorrow, but today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so this morning, as we think of the work of the Holy Spirit, this is what he does. And so I appeal to you this morning, and time has gone. But in another sense, time has not gone. The day of grace is still here. I appeal to you this morning, as your pastor, as your minister, as your friend, in the name of God, in the name of the gospel, in the name of Jesus Christ, get yourself right with God. I'm not going to go to the door this morning. I will go into the minister's room and I will pray. You may not come and speak to me today or tomorrow, but I do believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is at work here this morning. I do not always say that, but I do believe he is at work. And I do believe he is speaking to people. Maybe you're a backslider. You need to get back to God. You know that. You don't need me to tell you. Don't put it off any longer. Turn to Christ and do it today.